Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The epistle lesson from Jude brings us to the very last five verses of a very short book. It is one chapter long. It is written by one of Jesus' own half-brothers. I'd like to read the entire book for you, just quickly. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them! For they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against them." These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, "In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit." But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Now why do that? I read the whole book. Because your text in your bulletin there, starting at verse 20, begins with the word, but you. And I thought it important to see the contrast of what Jude is seeing around him in the world, and then the word of encouragement that comes to those who are trusting in Christ for their salvation. He has a fair long list of both those in and of the world who care nothing for Christ and all that they are doing to build up the kingdoms of the world, but then also those claiming to be a part of the church and yet following after rebellious leaders. And instead of just listing the Ten Commandments per se and saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing, he goes through representative historical examples from the Old Testament to highlight what he's talking about. There are people in the world right now who are looking at their brother with such envy that they are willing to take up sword or club and beat that brother, not just senseless, but to death. There are those who would look to the places where God has placed his word and his encouragements and his gospel and scoff at it and to belittle it, to see it and count it as nothing. There are those who would take hold of the things of the Lord's wisdom and set it aside, put it under a bushel, and to attempt to make it run right out of the minds and hearts of people around them. There are those who would flaunt their freedom in the gospel in such a way that they embrace licentiousness, things that God himself has said, this does not reflect humanity. This is not what it is to be a child of God. This is not what it is to image me to the rest of the world. But in the embracing of forgiveness, to use such forgiveness as an excuse, to use such forgiveness, to use such grace as an excuse for the flesh. And Paul had talked about this as well. Shall we sin all the more so that grace may abound? Paul asks in chapter 6 of the book of Romans. And his answer there is the same as Jude's answer here. God forbid. God forbid that we test God in such a way that we seek the absolute limits of his forgiveness by embracing known sin and calling that freedom. But instead, Jude looks his people in the eye and says, but you. And that's really where we begin with our lesson now too. Recognizing all the rest that is going on, what will we do? And how will the rest of our days play out in the presence of God and as his ambassadors? People who are carrying his name into the world. Contend for the faith. Now this doesn't mean have permission to be rude to people. It doesn't mean have permission to be antagonistic. But it does mean to speak the truth in love, just as our Lord described himself. Contend for the faith. Have deep roots. Know what it is you believe. Know what it is that God claims both for himself and about you and about your need for him and about how this has an impact worldwide. contend for the faith. Do not scoff at the Holy Spirit as the world does, but instead pray in the Holy Spirit. You see, but you claims all of those promises that God has provided and says, make good use of them. Build yourselves up in the faith. Don't let the means of grace, don't let the tools that God has provided to you go sitting on a shelf somewhere. Just because you own a self-study Bible doesn't mean you just put it on the shelf, give it a cup of coffee, and let it study itself. It's not going to do the work for you. It's going to give you help. It's going to give you more tools for understanding. It's going to lead you to questions that you hadn't thought to ask so that you can have answers that are that much more joyfully satisfying, to lead to the contentment that the gospel lives as a platform for service and the comfort to know that I am thoroughly in the hands of a Lord who exercises his dominion over all these things, even while the world finds its ways of scoffing against it. Fair enough. Contend for the faith. Build yourselves up, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. There's a phrase I like to use when people are talking about all kinds of ways that people go to try to satisfy the deepest longings in their life, right? People go to all kinds of lengths to try to fill the hole in their lives where God would provide contentment, but they do it in all kinds of other ways. And it occurs to me that that reminds me of a country song, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." People do this. It is this constant restlessness, looking for the love that satisfies in all of the wrong places. Because the love that satisfies needs to reach all the way through life, death, and life in resurrection. And that's only going to come from somebody who's walked that path already. That's only going to come from our King Jesus. And so to try to fill in all of the gaps around and inside and on every side with loves that cannot measure up only leads to not only discontentment, but it can lead to imagining that such love simply doesn't exist. And to embrace a much smaller view of who and what God has created you to be. But to be in the love of God in Jesus Christ, and to have the joy and freedom that that provides, allows a person to express the entire realm of his created being. That there is everything given for the sake of the love of God, and to rejoice in how truly marvelously human we have been created to be. Anticipate the mercy of God that comes as the Lord Jesus Christ leads you to eternal life. Live on tiptoe. Live now, always anticipating that this is not the end. That this isn't all there is. That the world right now isn't all it's cracked up to be what it will be. In the new heavens and the new earth, as Jesus brings them into play at his next and final appearing, that mercy can even drive us now to anticipate the joy that God has waiting for us. That's also not just living on tiptoe, but living in confidence that the word of the Lord endures forever, that it's not going anywhere. and it will be fulfilled. He will do it. And to live in the full confidence of that motivates to snatch some out of the fire, to lead others to Christ, to have mercy on those who doubt, because the overwhelming nature of the promises of God seem to be bigger or grander than they can even ever imagine. To think that if it's not happening now the way I want it to happen, how can I be sure that it'll happen then the way God describes? And the answer, of course, is twofold. One, Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead. So his word is true. And second, he's demonstrating it each and every day. From the manna that falls to preserve us to the gifts of eternal life available here through the church. That the gospel of God in Jesus Christ would heal you. Bring the forgiveness of sins and offer the holiness and righteousness of Christ even to the most unrighteous of all. Because God's mercy runs from one extreme all the way to the other, we are able to have the kind of confidence that Jude describes. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time and now and forever. This entire life, from the first day of creation through Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter, even to our own day now, and for as many days as the Lord Jesus provides us to be enrolled in his service, giving honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, is a great joy. To him be glory. To him be all majesty. To him be all dominion and authority. Recognizing that all things truly are in his hands because he says so. That he is working these things out so that we, along with all of his called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified people, by his word and spirit, may be around his throne forever and ever. Jude says, don't follow Cain. Don't follow Korah. Don't follow Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't follow all of those who rebelled against God and his word, who thought they knew better, who wanted to overthink it, who wanted to critique it. Follow Jesus. He has the path laid out. Our trailblazer, who has gone through death and into resurrection life. That path for not only each one of us, but also for the entire world is laid out. For it too finds its conclusion and finds its new beginning. He calls on that day for the new heavens and the new earth to come forth. We pray that all of us here, there, and wherever they may be found, may give honor and glory to Jesus Christ on that grand and glorious day. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in faith towards Christ Jesus. Amen.